see them? All right, now open them up. All right, we're going to hear from our preacher this morning, and I'll let him come and tell you where he's going. But Brother Jacob, I'm trying to say Brother Jensen and Jacob at the same time. So Jacob Jensen is here with us, and I appreciate him being here in our missions conference, being with us. We've worked him, and he's preached a lot, and so we're thankful for him being here this morning and preaching to us. So I want you to do this, all right? I want you to give ear. All right, and keep your eyes on him because he's going to preach the word to us this morning. Come on, my brother.
Good morning. How many of y'all are awake in here this morning? All right, just the first and second graders. Got it. Those of you who are old enough who had your cup of coffee, don't be shy. I did too. Man, not very many. Y'all need to get on the bandwagon here. It really helps, trust me. Well, for those of you who don't know, if I didn't get around to meet you yesterday, my name is Jacob Jensen. My wife, Kirsten, I wish my wife, please stand so everyone can see how lucky I am. With my wife, Kirsten, on the front row, we are missionaries called to the Navajo Nation. The Navajo Nation is the largest Native American reservation in the United States. It takes up territory in Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. It is over 27,000 square miles and is home to around 400,000 Navajo people, most of which need the gospel and are lost and in need of a savior. That's the opportunity we have. If you have any more questions about our ministry and what we're doing, how we got called out there, our table's there in the back, right in the center of the auditorium. And if you be back there, get a prayer card, ask us any questions. We're delighted to answer any questions about our ministry. With who we're helping. We'll be going to help missionary Joel Haynes, which any of you in here, if you've been to our youth rallies, we're sent out of the Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida, under Pastor James Knox. If you've been up there for any of our youth rallies, you have met Brother Haynes. He is one of the most energetic men I have ever met. So he's a little hard to keep up with. So we're working on that. So if you'd pray for us, we're going to the Navajo people. We're excited. We'll be working under Brother Haynes for the first few years to get a grasp of the culture and the language, and that by God's grace and God's timing, my wife and I will branch out and plant our own church on the western side of the reservation where there are no churches spreading the gospel light. So I want you to imagine a lot of you, you know, you're here, a lot of you come to this church, a lot of you have a church you go to. Imagine if you didn't have that church. Imagine if you didn't have a church to go to. Imagine if you didn't have fellow Christians and fellow believers to fellowship with, or just anyone there to show you the way to live and the way to know Christ and the way to be saved. That is what that western side of that reservation is facing. There is not a single gospel light going to that entire side, and that's a half of a reservation that we've forgotten about. And if you're driving around in that reservation, some of you would think, I'm not in the United States anymore. It looks like a third world country, and that's the opportunity we have to bring the gospel to a lost and dying people within the United States of America. So if you pray for us along that regard, we're excited. We just started a full-time deputation as of last week. We were doing part-time meetings from September through October. God accelerated our plans and our schedule. We weren't planning on launching out full-time until January, but by God's grace and Him giving us meetings and even some support along the way, my wife and I have been able to launch full-time as of last week. So praise the Lord for that. But enough about me and enough about our ministry. If you have any more questions, like I said, feel free to ask any of us. I'm pretty sure we're doing some rounds through some of the classrooms this week as well. So you'll have the opportunity to ask us more questions as well. But turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read four verses, and then obviously we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead and read, starting in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for all these eager and attentive boys and girls who have come to chapel service this morning. I pray you bless them in a special way. I pray you give them attentiveness as well. And Lord, I pray you use your Holy Spirit, because other than that, I'm just a mumbling pile of dirt. I pray you bless this message now. And I pray that if someone in here is not saved, that today would be the day they would realize that they need you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray with this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in the little time I have this morning, I want to do a quick study and look at three reasons as to why we as Christians are to keep running in the Christian race. So the first reason I want to look at, we're going to breeze through these quickly with the time I have today. The first reason, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. The first reason I want to look at today is we are being chased. We are being chased. In Proverbs 13, verse 21, we're going to go ahead and read the first three words of Proverbs 13, verse 21. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Let me ask you something here this morning. Are you saved? Raise your hand high. Are you born again beyond the shadow of a doubt? You know you're on the way to heaven, right? Now, what does the song say? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Do we still sin as Christians? We're not perfect. So we can still honestly say in here, we're saved, we're Christians, we're born again, we're on our way to heaven, but we still sin, we're still sinners, right? So we see in this verse, evil pursueth sinners. Sin is still after us even though we're saved. Just because we're born again and a Bible-believing Christian doesn't mean we're exempt from sin. Doesn't mean we're exempt from falling. I could give you multiple examples from my childhood when I was one of you, of people I knew, people I was close to, people I was friends with, who, oh, they're saved, they're good, fell off the deep end into sin. And a pursue, for those of you who don't know, in the dictionary means to follow with a view to overtake. How many of y'all have ever played football in here? Anyone play football? Now, let's say if the person you're guarding, if you're playing defense, and the person you're guarding catches the ball, and they're a little bit in front of you, and you, let's say you pursue after them. Do you pursue after them? I'm going to go ahead and grab this microphone. Is this on? It is not. All right. We'll go ahead and make it work. Should be on. Maybe if I turned it on, that might help. There we go. All right. There we go. All right. So if you're chasing the guy who has the football, do you really think you're going to... Hey, stop. No. You are going to run after him. I'm going to catch up to this guy. I'm going to bring him to the ground. Well, let me tell you something, boys and girls. That's what sin is doing to you. Sin is after you. It's trying to overtake you. But it's not just sin. I'm not going to have you turn there for sake of time today, but 1 Peter 5:8. Most of us know this verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So not only do we have sin after us, hot on our heels, we have Satan, the author of sin, the beginning of sin, as we could read in Genesis chapter 3. He's also after us. And he's not just casually strolling. He is actively and quickly looking for someone, for a little boy, a little girl, a young man, a young woman, that he can devour. Saved or not, he can take over anyone he wants to if we don't keep running in our Christian race. If we don't realize that we are being chased, it's going to be a lot easier to grow lackadaisical in our Christian walk, in our Christian race. So the first point, we are being chased by sin and by Satan. The second point I want to look at this morning is simply, we're commanded to. Not only are we being chased, we're commanded to keep running. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Over and over in Scripture, we are told to flee certain things. And we're just going to look at three this morning quickly. Flee in the dictionary is to run with rapidity as from danger. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Verse number 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So we see here the first thing we're told to flee. Flee fornication. And I'll speak more about flee here in just a second, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at the next thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. I could stop there and preach for a long time on just those four words. But God is faithful. But I'm going to go ahead and keep going this morning. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, how many of you in here know what idolatry means? Right? And so for those of you who don't know, idolatry, now, idolatry would be what a false religion you would see, like people bowing down to a statue, praying to a rock as a god, praying to a tree, praying to a spirit. Basically, worshiping anything other than God is idolatry. Now, you may think in here, well, Brother Jake, I don't have a statue up in my house. I don't pray to a tree. I don't pray to my dog Fido. I'm good. I don't pray to any false statues or anything. Well, let me ask you this. Is there something in your heart? Is there something in your life? Is there something in your mind that is more important to you than God? Is there something that consumes more time, more thoughts, more effort than serving your Savior? Well, I hate to break it to you, that's idolatry. You are giving more of your devotion and more of your time to something other than God. That's idolatry. And it can be anything. It can be TV. It can be sports. It could even be something that isn't bad in and of itself. It could be family. It could be quality time. But if you let that overcome your love and your devotion to Christ, that is when it becomes a sin. That is when it becomes idolatry. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This kind of goes along with idolatry, but it also gives us a nice segue into our final point as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So we're told to flee the love of money. We're told to flee coveting other things. Now, how many of you, now, is this verse saying we have to hate money? Does this verse say we don't need money to live? We don't need money. No. We need money to make it in this world. That's just the way the system is set up. We need money. But just like we spoke about with idolatry, when your love of money overcomes your love for Christ, and you seek more to gain money and to earn money and to make money, and that overcomes your love for God and your love for church and your love for Christ and your love for doing what He wants you to do, that's when it becomes a problem. And the Bible tells us over and over, as we just looked at three examples quickly, to flee these things. Now let's say you're walking in the Everglades. We're not that far from it here in Haines City. We're not, pretty much Florida is just a swamp. But let's say we're walking in the Everglades. And you stumble across an angry gator. An angry, hungry, snarling gator. Now, if we came across that in the swamp, do you really think we'd be like, oh, look, it's a gator who wants to eat me? Guess I'm just going to casually walk this way. It'd be foolish. You'd get eaten real quick. No. How many of us in here with a brain in our head would be like, ah, gator! Now, you may think that's a foolish example, but how many of us use that first example when we come across sin? How many of us use that first example when we come across something the Bible has clearly told us to flee from? Oh, look, sin. When we're supposed to respond, like the second option, I'm not going to do it again. That kind of hurt. So we're not going to do that again. But that's the response God is looking for in us as Christians. We're supposed to shriek. We're supposed to run. We're supposed to do whatever we need to do to get away from it because we're told to flee. So the first point, we're being chased. The second point, we're commanded to. Now this should be enough to convince every one of us in here to keep running the Christian race. But if you're Norwegian like me and you're stubborn, you need more convincing. So we're going to go ahead and move into the third point. We're going to read the second half of verse 11. We're going to start again. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So not only are we being chased, not only are we commanded to keep running, but as we see at the end of this verse, we have a goal. What did we read at the beginning of this lesson? 1 Corinthians 9:24, run that ye may obtain. Obtain what? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we have a goal. And boys and girls in here this morning, this is our goal. We are to forget what's behind us and press toward that mark that Christ set for us. Will we ever reach Christ's standard of perfection? No. Will we be exempt from falling into sin the rest of our Christian life? No. We're human. We have a sin nature. We have the old flesh, the old life that always is battling with us. But by God's grace, why don't we try? We need to keep running. We need to realize this goal. And I love how he words it in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. What did we just look at? We're being chased. We're supposed to be chasing the goal that Christ has set for us so hard and running so fast that we even forget sin and Satan are back there. Because we're so focused on pleasing our Lord and pleasing our Savior that we forget that sin and Satan are after us because there's no way they can get to us now. We have a goal. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. I want to show you a couple verses here in closing. Don't you love it when you're reading the Bible and you come across a verse you've read many, many times and you read it again and God shows you something you've never seen before? Isn't that a blessing? Man, we serve a living God and he gave us a living word. It's a blessing. Now, a lot of you have heard this verse before, but I want to point out three words as this verse progresses. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what just happened there, boys and girls? As the wickedness got worse, as the verse progressed, did you notice the movement got slower? It went from walking to standing to sitting. Quite a stark contrast from running, if you ask me. So let me ask you in here this morning, boys and girls, where are you at in your Christian race? Are you running? Are you walking? Are you standing? Or God forbid, maybe some of you in here are sitting. Let me tell you something. What did we read at the beginning of this lesson? Satan is a roaring lion. Now, what do lions attack? Do they attack the strong members of the herd that are running at the front? No. They attack the slow ones at the back. And so if any of you in here are like this man, and you're walking, or you're standing, or you're sitting, you are a prime target for sin and Satan to catch up to you. And it's not going to be pretty. Devour is not just a casual reprimanding. Devour is complete annihilation. Why don't we keep running our Christian race? When we realize what Christ did for us, it's going to be all the more encouragement for us to keep running and to keep going. Galatians 5. I don't know about you, but when I get to the judgment seat of Christ, I want to hear the creator of the universe look down at me after a life of service and look at me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. How many of you in here want to hear that this morning? When you get to heaven one day and you're standing at that judgment seat, don't we all want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? But I wonder if some of us in here have let our Christian race slip, and maybe we've let what's chasing us catch up to us. Maybe we've simply just ignored the commandments of Scripture to flee what we're told to flee what we are commanded to. Or maybe we've just lost sight of the goal. But I wonder how many of us in here will hear what Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 5, verse number 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Let me ask you something in here, boys and girls. If you've let something slow you down in your Christian race, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Those of you in here raised your hands earlier and said you're saved. You remember those first few weeks after you got saved? You were fired up. You were pumped up. You were ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. You were going to tell everybody in Haines City about the Lord. You were going to give a tract to everyone you met. Now, whether you've been saved in here a few days, a few months, a few years, how's that going? Do you still have that energy? Do you still have that fight? Do you still have that zeal? Let me tell you something. It wasn't the Savior who changed. There was something in here that caused you to lose sight of running that Christian race. So let me ask you in here this morning, boys and girls, why don't you keep running? Have we lost sight that we're being chased? Do we not realize the seriousness of what's after us? Do we just simply ignore the commands of Scripture in the Bible to flee when sin and temptation arise? Or maybe we've just simply lost sight of what we're after. So I encourage you, examine yourselves this morning. Figure out where you are in your Christian race, and let's keep running. Let's keep running as hard as we can after the goal that Christ has set before us to please our Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. I pray that this message has touched the hearts of everyone here. Lord, if someone here has let their Christian race slip, Lord, maybe they've let sin and Satan catch up to them. Maybe they've just completely ignored the commands of Scripture. Or maybe they've just simply lost sight of the mark that you've set for us to chase. I pray you be with this closing out now. I pray you be with the school day. Help the students to be attentive and enjoy their classes and help them to learn something. Help us all to keep running to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.